From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. A bill designed to close Wisconsin's skills gap had a public hearing last week in a state Senate committee. The bill would provide $10 million in competitive grants to help meet skilled worker training needs. The bill is co-authored by Democratic State Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska, who talks about the skills gap issue and how the proposed grant program would help.
There's this disconnect where, you know, we're looking to get people employed, but yet we don't have the matchup of what the skills are and the jobs that are available. And that mismatch is what we're trying to deal with in this particular situation. You know, for example, the two that we hear most commonly are welders and nurses. They could hire a ton of them right now if they were available, but they're not. The workforce growth program really is designed to get at exactly that kind of thing. Wherever the hot areas are, you could almost call it an emergency type of a situation. Rather than saying, well, gee, next year the tech school is going to have this program so that we can meet this need 5 years down the line, what we're saying is employers come to us today, say we need these people now. We can do something very quickly.
The skills gap issue, does it come down to there not being the educational opportunities within the area or just the access to the educational opportunities?
You know, there's a lot of different reasons. Sometimes, you know, such as with nurses and with welders, that's been just a problem that's been festering for quite some time. And it's just a matter of creating greater capacity in the various training programs. Sometimes, you know, in particular with welders, for example, it may be a situation of we've got welders in one part of the state that are trained, but we need welders in a different part of the state. And so we just need to have the resources where they belong. But in other situations, a lot of times, you know, with things happening so fast these days, you know, we might a year from now have a need for people trained for something that we don't even have any idea today. And we want to be ahead of the curve, not behind the curve. And again, this is the type of thing where you get a business or a group of businesses or a local workforce development board that get together, put a proposal to the tech school and say, we will put some skin in the game to get these type of people trained. Are you in? And it's a competitive grant program, and if it's something that the payback is there, the tech school has the ability then to say, you bet we're in.
So can you explain exactly what is a rapid response grant?
The example that was given at our hearing, I think, is a really good one. Let's say that you have a community, and we'll use La Crosse. Let's say that in La Crosse we have three or four employers that need welders, and we can't find them. What they do is they get together and say, you know, on our own, not a single employer is going to have the ability to create a training program for welders. But together, you know, maybe this makes sense, that it is feasible. So we will go then to the tech school and say, look, we'll put some money into this program if we can get this grant so that you can do training for these welders at the tech school. And so that's where the money is spent, at the tech school, so that, you know, within the next few months, we will have those people available for working in our individual businesses. So it's a great partnership. And you know, the nice thing about the way the tech schools have been operating in recent years is that it really is hand in glove with our local employers. And so it's the kind of thing that makes sense right today, right now.
The way the bill is now, it would provide $10 million to the tech college system. But how would that money then itself be divvied out?
That's a statewide allocation, and so, you know, Western would be competing with Gateway and, you know, the other tech schools all across the state, and it would be probably on a rotating basis. That we had talked to the tech schools about, you know, the finer points on how, you know, how the details would work out, and they said, you know, if the bill is approved, they will then, you know, put the meat on the bones to tell us exactly how that would work, but probably something along the lines of a rotating application arrangement. And when the money runs out, the money runs out. But it's not the kind of thing where in January, everybody has to know what they're doing for the full year. And if you think of something or you have a need that comes up in April, you're too late.
A single business, a group of business, I think in the bill it also says workforce development boards, right. Economic development organizations can all apply for these grants in conjunction with this partnership with each of the technical colleges?
Exactly. They would be the partners with the tech school. And the nice thing about that is it finds where the need is and has that them come to the tech schools. You know, we always try to project off into the future. You know, our university does, our tech schools do. You know, what are the high demand jobs going to be? What are the areas that we should be training? And you hope you get it right, but you don't always get it right. And so this allows us to do those kind of spot shortages. You know, if La Crosse needs this, maybe they don't need it over in Kenosha or Superior, but La Crosse needs this particular program, and some local employers or our Workforce Development Board is willing to ante up some of their own, you know, funds for it. We can address that need. So it's very customized, very immediate.
And you mentioned they'd be able to put up some of their money on their own. So would it be mm-hmm. almost like a matching grant type of program?
In most situations, I would envision that it would be, because okay. $10 million statewide isn't a lot of money. Sure. So we're, you know, if somebody said, gee, we need you to create a new addition on our school for a welding program, well, that $10 million would be gone right there. So it's not going to be that kind of thing. The similar program is the Workforce Advancement Training Grants, also known as WAT grants, and those average out maybe like $30,000, $40,000. So what you're doing is it's kind of seed money or what we like to call gap funding to, you know, seal the deal. We've got other people that or entities that are, you know, willing to get it pretty close, but they need a location, you know, again, to use the example of welders. You know, the local businesses don't have the place to do it. The tech school has a facility. We, you know, get a grant to help for the faculty, maybe some materials and so forth. The businesses put in some of their materials and maybe just cash. And that puts the pieces of the pie together, and there's your program.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guest today is Representative Steve Doyle. He's a Democrat from La Crosse who's co-authored a bill that would help close the skills gap in Wisconsin and provide grants to businesses and technical colleges. Plenty of people who have signed on to the bill, but there's only been one Republican who's given his support.
Well, and unfortunately, that's kind of the state of things in Madison, is that there are very few bills that have a lot of members of both parties. And this was one that came, we called it the Democratic Jobs Package. And so we put together a number of different bills, you know, including this one. And I think there was some hesitancy on, you know, the part of members of the Republican Party to simply give our proposals credence and, you know, make it sound like, gee, you know, this is the new way of doing things, and forget about what the Republicans had been proposing. And so there was some reluctance in that regard. But then as people have looked at them a little more deeply, we are finding that, you know, there is bipartisan support for the concept. So, you know, if this bill, say, was pulled and came in tomorrow, introduced by you know, the committee chair, for example, it probably passed on a unanimous vote. Unfortunately, you know, the problem is that we still haven't gotten past that angst in Madison and that animosity that exists between the parties. But, you know, I think we're making some progress.
I was wondering, too, how much different parts of the state are really feeling this skills gap, because from who I've seen has signed on so far, there's a handful of senators and representatives from Western Wisconsin, Janesville area, Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, places that have strong technical colleges but also have seen a loss in manufacturing jobs over the years, too.
Well, manufacturing is certainly you know, one of the prime areas for needing assistance with regard to these programs or other types of programs. You know, Wisconsin is still one of the top manufacturing states in the country. I think I read recently Wisconsin and Indiana are the two that are still most reliant upon manufacturing. The need in La Crosse may not be the need in Janesville, for example. And so while they all support the program, it's for different reasons or for different types of needs that they have in their particular community. And so that's why you're seeing people from all over the state, again, for different reasons, but for that ultimate reason is we need more jobs and we need, you know, in our particular industry help. And that industry may be something in Janesville and something different in Racine, something different in La Crosse.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guest today is Representative Steve Doyle, a Democrat from Onalaska, who's co-authored a bill that would help close the skills gap in Wisconsin and provide grants to businesses and technical colleges. Why grant programs? Why not just back when the budget was being debated,
why not just fight for more money for the technical college system? It's had some budget cuts over the last handful of years.
It's an understatement. Well, that was a non-starter. You know, certainly there was a lot of talk about reinstating, you know, at least some of the cuts to the tech schools and the university too. I think there was a concern that, well, you wanted to cut the fat and get down to, you know, a very lean operation. And if we just give money back, are you kind of defeating what you'd tried to accomplish? So we weren't having much success in just adding money back into the budget for, you know, in this case, the tech schools. But so we thought, well, maybe we try a different approach, really focus like a laser on what particular needs are. So this money doesn't just go into the tech school bottom line, not into their general budget. It has to be used, this $10 million, just for this particular program, so that you can see, you know, what I referred to at the committee hearing, deliverables. You know, we will give $40,000 to this proposal that will create 12 jobs, you know, that type of thing, where you can see that connection there. That's really what people are expecting these days out of government at all levels. You know, we see that at the county level, where I've got a lot of background. We see it at the state level. Probably could use a little bit more of it at the federal level. But people do want to see what their money is actually going to produce in terms of results.
Do you think that this is a good alternative to the budget cuts?
It's a start. It doesn't replace everything, because you can't, you know, for example, cut a number of faculty members and say, well, we're going to create one program for this particular need and think that you're solving all of the problems that resulted from those cuts. It fits a niche, but I wouldn't at all say that it solves the problem. You know, we looked at the budget cuts for the last two budgets, you know, as it related to education, in particular the tech schools, and scratched our heads saying, you know, I'm a product of the university, and, you know, I believe in what the university does, but I had to say the tech schools, man, those are the folks that create the jobs. I mean, right away, you know, a university, it's really maybe a longer-term premise, but if we need somebody today for, you know, a particular technical skill, and you know, we're saying jobs, why do you cut the very entity that can, you know, produce the people for those jobs?
So if this bill does pass, you know, when you look a year down the line or 2 years down the line, what sort of difference do you see, maybe not only for Western Wisconsin, but for the entire state?
You know, this is the kind of program where I think that right now our local people, and I work very closely on these bills with Patty Balasek and Lee Rush from Western, you know, they could say, you know, we've got this program, you know, and this business, and we're ready to go right now with them. And that's great. And I think that what you're going to see is, as time goes on, more publicity about the program and even greater demand. And I think that that would be a good evolution of a program like this, where you start small, but then as time goes on, and again, it wouldn't replace the bottom line of the tech school budget, but does give that focus in terms of matching the need with the resources. So that's what I would hope to see, you know, in a couple of years as the word gets out about the program.
State Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska talking about a bill he's co-authored that's designed to close the skills gap in Wisconsin. The bill had a hearing in a Senate committee last week, and Doyle hopes it will be voted on later this fall. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. You'll also find extended interviews, photos, and links to the bills. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.